Hello, everyone. This is Alicia Carr with Women Tech Talk. And in this episode, we will be at We Rise Women in Tech Conference, the first Southeastern all women conference. I really hope you enjoy this episode. Everybody, this is Alicia Carr with Women Tech Talk, and I am doing a totally different perspective of interview. We are here at We Rise Women in Tech conference, and we have our minority are the men in our conference. So we have more women than men, but we have men speaking, which is amazing. They're not afraid to face these women in here. So my first interview is with Joey Womack. He is one of the, oh my God, he's an amazing person who works on social justice, on social, how would you say, in the social community aspect. So Jody, let me just calm down, I'm all excited. Joey, introduce yourself.
Yes, so I am Joey Womack. I am the founder of Amplify for Good and Goody Nation, two social impact startups. It's my life's purpose to equalize socioeconomic disparities all over the world. It is my life's goal to help out 1 billion people, or would it be 1 billion by the year 2039.
Oh my God, so this guy's amazing. And so the one thing I'm just so curious about, because I don't know, how did you get to doing this? This is where I need to hear that story.
Number God. So I talk all the time around, and all the programs that we have are built off the hero's journey. That calling that all of us have to do something on the inside. And oftentimes we ignore it. We ignore it for a long time. Then we meet that one person. Then we think all those amazing movies, Star Wars, you know, Wizard of Oz. I mean, all the, you know, Karate Kid. They meet that mentor. You know, that mentor trains them to give them some kind of weapon or something of that nature, some kind of skill. They go off. They meet a few friends. They battle an enemy. They lose and they go back at the end of the movie, and they defeat the bad guy at the end. And so I heard a calling myself. It was so loud. It was like a knock on the door, so loud by God that I couldn't ignore it anymore. And so I actually got a physical call by somebody to do an event to diversify Atlanta Startup Week. Right. And I came up with this idea for this hackathon for good. At that time, it was supposed to be a one-time project. And now we're like 60 hackathons deep and have helped up to 500 million people.
I mean, and I know what you're saying when that calling come, because the app I created, and it's like, I created it to get a job, and then Ray Rice act a fool, and then you got my husband, my daughters, my girlfriends, all of them saying, "Ma, you built this app, what the hell are you doing? Why are you letting this sit there?" So I really totally understand when you said that calling was there. And you, like you said, it's him sending that message to all these people around you, you know, to make this happen. So you're here at this conference, and you're here with all these women, and you know, you have been part of Women in Tech community for a long time.
Sure. Yep.
And so what do you think about our conference right now? How do you see it? As you know, in your eyes,
I see leaders. I mean, it's interesting. So I remember growing up, I went to Catholic school. Third or fourth grade, I began. So I'm really big on patterns, and I was always noticing like all the leaders in our classroom, the ones that scored the highest, were girls. And so in my mind, and how things kind of work for me, and I was explained to me as a young kid, you do well in school, you get a great job, high-paying job. Like, that's pretty much what they kind of sold you.
Right.
And so I'm thinking, like, okay, all the girls in my class, they're like the top five or six people, like, you know, GPAs or whatever. I feel like it's not translating the real world. This is like, you know, the early 80s, or not early, but probably the late 80s. And so even then, I recognized that, honestly, like girls and women are the leaders, whether it's the elementary school or in the real world. And so when I look at this amazingly packed crowd of talented and passionate people, I see nothing but leaders. You know, I spoke on social impact, and even in our programming, top performers by far are women. You know, why that is, you can probably talk about it in a few different ways, but we talk about that calling, mm-hmm. you know, having the ability to withstand pressure and then pain and drama and still persevere. And so when I look out in that crowd and I see the workshop I spoke to and the large audience, I see nothing but leaders and people that can change the world.
So do you think that this conference is needed here in the Atlanta tech community?
Oh yeah, definitely needed. I mean, Atlanta has a huge opportunity to control what really happens throughout the world because of the airport and the CDC mm-hmm. and things of that nature. It has a huge impact on the Southeast, quite honestly. I mean, as Atlanta goes, the rest of the Southeast goes. Mm-hmm. And so one, it's a great beacon, you know, for the rest of the country. And so women in Atlanta, you know, people say Atlanta is a city too busy to hate. And having the ability to kind of come in and dominate in the city of Atlanta, is an amazing opportunity. And so from what I hear, actually I heard this yesterday, like women who code, they're the ones that are crushing it when it comes to the diversity game in Atlanta, period. In the story, it's not even a question.
Yeah, and I heard that too. And I was like, me and Eric and Beth were like, what the hell is that coming from? But it's the reason why we decided to do it this way is because we feel that women can learn so much more in technology. You know what I'm saying? We have this creativity, this crazy thing in our mind that if we said, I want to do a cooking app, we would be so detailed into every mm-hmm. little thing about creating that cooking app, because I want a cooking app, but I need to make sure I know the measurements. And how do I substitute milk, you know, substitution for milk?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Because we cook like that. So, like I said, I heard it. It was amazing. Do you have any final words to give me for, you know, that you think would be amazing to hear, what women need to hear?
Oh, man, there's so many. I mean, kudos to you all for putting this on, for your leadership, quite honestly, and paving the way for not only women in Atlanta, but around the world for, you know, future for future leaders, but the rest of the world. You are a beacon. You are a model example. For anyone else, I just say at the end of the day, do three things. Again, based on that hero's journey of being a hero, an ally, and a mentor. So accept your calling. Accept your calling. Like mine is helping 1 billion people by the year 2039. I asked my grandmother, who passed away in 97, like around 3 or 4 years before she passed away, what her calling was. And it was just simply to help her mom raise her siblings. Mm. Now, one of her siblings went on to be a very good friend of Martin Luther King Jr. in Montgomery, Alabama. And mm-hmm. His wife was with Coretta Scott King when their house was bombed.
Mm.
So you never know the ripple effects of your act. Accept your calling. Second thing, be an ally to someone else who has accepted their hero's calling as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is to be a mentor to somebody.
Always.
You do those three things, the world will change for a better.
Thank you so much, babe.
Thank you so much, Joey.
Hello, everyone. This is Alicia Carr with Women Tech Talk. And today, I'm with my boy, Marcellus. And, you know, I love the name because my grandson is
nice.
And so Marcellus is one of the, how would you say, he runs Technologists of Color. And so I'm going to just, let me just let Marcellus introduce himself.
Okay. So my name is Marcellus Haynes, and I am the founder of the Technologists of Color organization here in Atlanta. And the goal of the organization is to simply provide a platform for growth of African Americans in technology. And we've been going for about 5 years, and we do a number of things. And again, the goal is just to help African Americans grow, do more, participate at a greater level in the tech field.
So me and Marcellus probably go back, what, 2 years, three years?
Oh, it's more than that.
Yeah, it's at least three years.
Four.
And I joined Technologies of Color back then, and actually, I did, when you did the app thing, I forgot what it...
Technology and Social Activism.
Yeah, yep.
And you were there with your app.
Yes, yes, and I think that was like the first time I like, okay, besides that, y'all had the mixer.
Happy hours.
Yep. And it was like profound to see. I mean, I'm like, a room full of black people. Yes, yes. It was interesting because it was like, wow, this is really going on here, you know? And so, Marcellus, besides that, what is Technologists of Color really doing to change the way technology is happening in Atlanta?
The main reason I started it was to get more of us involved in what's happening in Atlanta, in downtown Atlanta. So as a contractor, I would work with different companies outside of the perimeter, and you know, a couple of times I worked in town, and I started to become involved and learn about what was happening in town. You know, this town is busting at the seams in technology. And so I thought, you know, there are so many people outside of the perimeter that don't know what's happening here. Mm-hmm. So let's try to pull some people in town and get them more involved and take advantage of some of the great opportunities here. And so I think one of the things we've done is we've connected a lot of people to this environment here in Atlanta, and we've encouraged some people to dive in and do more. I have one guy called the poster child where he did a pitch at our App Showcase event, and he said the first one he came to, it inspired him to take an app that he had sitting on the shelf, and it inspired him to move forward with it. And actually he pitched, and that pitch helped him to decide to move forward. And he completed the app, put it in the App Store, and actually has customers now. And so this was us providing a platform for him to say, hey, here's what I'm doing. And it also gave him the confidence and the inspiration to move forward, to take another step.
So have you seen more minorities, more people of color really trying to get into technology? Because there's a lack of us.
Absolutely.
In it. And so with you doing this organization, this group, what have you seen so far? What has been benefits of technologies of color?
I think it's a support structure, and it is exactly what you said earlier. You come to the event and you see a room full of people also in the space, and it gives you, first of all, we never see it. You know, if you work in the industry, you're usually in an environment where you don't see many people like yourself. Mm-hmm. You can't have conversations with people like yourself, or, you know, you can't laugh at the same jokes. You can't talk about the same things because you're in an environment where no one really is like you. Mm-hmm. And so when you get in an environment where you see other folks like you in technology, and you can sort of let your hair down and talk about, you might talk about Beyonce and then talk about Angular in the same conversation. You cannot do that most times. Mm-hmm. And so it's about creating that community of people that provides a support structure for folks to continue their progress in technology. So it helps build confidence. It helps, you know, there have been plenty of people to meet at these things and move forward on business ventures and work together. There's been a lot of that. At the App Showcase, we had several apps. This last one, we had several companies to pitch their apps. And we did a workshop prior to the event. to help them, you know, hone their work on their presentations.
Right.
Well, during that workshop, two of the presenting companies learned that they might be able to work together. There were some synergies between their applications that they might later work together. So it's about building community, bringing people together, and just learning about whether it be a new technology or learning what other people are doing and growing.
Yeah,
and you never know. It's that serendipity. It's that, you know, not accidental, but the intentional serendipity, right, of you never know who you're going to meet.
Right, and that's exactly where the situation, because, you know, people have so many different ideas, and you know, and then they realize, well, we have so many similarities.
That's right.
And so, shoot, you know, we're both trying to do this. Let's do it together.
Right.
And I mean, because right now it's kind of, I mean, you also had this big event where you try to get more people, black people, into technology.
That's right.
So can you tell me about that as well?
Which one are you?
The one that you had at the gathering spot.
Okay, so that was a collaboration between Joey Womack and I.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And he and I, we talk all the time, and it was a follow-up from an event that we did with Technologists of Color, say 2 or 3 years ago, mm-hmm. Called the State of Black Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I over the years have talked, and we just decided one day, hey, it's time to do that again, because the community has grown, Atlanta has grown, there's a lot going on, let's have this conversation again. And what we learned and what we saw leading up to the event was that there's this incredible energy right now. And it reflected the growth of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so we saw, you know, wall-to-wall people. You know, it was over 400 people there. It was packed, and people were intently listening. And even afterwards, I mean, the energy was incredible. And so that event it wasn't just getting into technology. It was about, we have all these people already in the space. Let's come together and talk about what we need to do to move forward as a community. And again, it was incredible. I mean, and you know, it's continuing, and the community is moving forward. But what you start to learn is we have some of the same issues that we have in other areas of just working together and collaborating to make a strong, cohesive community.
Yeah.
It's a tough issue.
So. You got to speak here at We Rise Women in Tech conference,
mm-hmm.
and being that you are here with us women,
mm-hmm.
What do you think right now of this conference right now? What are you so excited about this conference?
Well, first of all, I love Women Who Code, especially the Atlanta chapter.
We collaborated with a lot of stuff together.
Right, you know, Erica has done, both of you have done events with us.
Yes.
Both of you did the tech talk.
Right.
So we're all family. So I love you all and what you do. The great thing about Women Who Code Atlanta and this conference is it's not just about, I mean, you have diversity events, talks and information like the one I did. And you talk about situations and culture and things like that, but there's also technology. And the one right before mine that I peeked in and got to listen to a little bit of, or experienced a little bit of, was amazing. It was about open source and contributing to open source projects. It was the greatest thing, because it's so simple. It's a simple fact of people just stepping in and getting involved, and how much that can do for you, how much confidence you can gain just by, you know, diving in. And that's what that's all it takes for a lot of people, and some people are afraid to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when you talk about women and you know, African Americans or whatnot, a lot of times there's a lack of confidence that you belong, that you can do something. And that particular workshop was great, because she said, you know, I think somebody contribute to a project by, I didn't know you could be a committer by just changing a document. So, you know, some people change some misspelled words, and now they've committed to a project. I mean, it's the, you know, how great of a confidence builder is that?
I know.
So that's what I love about.
Yeah, and because, you know, when you talk about tech conferences and you talk about the talks that you want to put in there, you'd be amazed at some of the information that they teach you, mm-hmm. that you'd be like, oh my God, I didn't know that.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So, you know, like I was listening, like Tiffany King came in, and she was at the same time, but she's talking about how Apple diversified, how they go out and reach out to communities to bring those communities into Apple.
That's right.
You know, and this is what Women of Code is a community.
Right.
You know, and so when I think about what we do, I also think about so much of like you and Joey and how you'll help us build this community.
That's right.
And it's like, so, you know.
It's just such a great thing. I mean, what we have here, there are some people that are just passionate about seeing people win. And in a lot of cases, it may look like somebody's about being popular or famous, but we in our community, in our circles know, like a Joey who gives everything he has to this community. There's some people with a lot of passion, and we share it. We share, you know, Joey's been in my events, Joey comes to your event. We all support each other. The ones that are true, we support each other, and it's awesome.
He said true and real. We sat here and talk about the true and real. You got to be true to yourself.
That's right.
And real to yourself. So
and real about, you know, helping people and making a difference. You know, it's not about, you know, being known or even getting paid in a lot of cases. You know what I mean? So it's that's the great thing. And let me just say again, the one thing I love about Women Who Code Atlanta is that you actually deal in code and doing the work and not just talking about it. And that the code jams, I think, are the greatest thing. Right, because it's the real deal.
Yeah, we do. The women come in there and they want to go.
That's the real deal.
Yeah, they
do. So, you know, you know, the rubber meets the road. It's real work. So it's awesome.
Well, thank you, Marcellus, for talking with me. And I'm going to make sure you hear this one. Hello, y'all. This is Alicia Carr with Women in Tech Talk, and today I'm at We Rise Women in Tech Conference that is hosted by Women of Code, and I'm here with a minority amongst all my group of women, and his name is Richard Taylor. And Richard, tell me what you do.
Well, currently I'm a software developer, a consultant on a team for a company called Logical Advantage, and we do all types of software development in terms of web, mobile, all different platforms. We just do all kinds of software, whatever the customer needs.
So you Android, iOS?
I'm Xamarin.
On Xamarin?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is all of them.
That's Xamarin.
X, yeah.
Oh,
Xamarin.
I seen that.
Yeah.
So, and how did you get into technology?
Well, let's see. I was 16 years old. My mother bought me a Commodore 64.
Everybody had damn Commodores.
Yep. And I created a game. I wanted to create a game. And so I learned a similar language and taught myself and built a game. And then I got into doing bulletin boards, the old dial-up bulletin boards that we used to have back then. There's no such thing as the internet, so that's how we connected with people, and then it just grew from there.
So how long you've been in the industry?
Between 25 and 27 years, somewhere up in there.
So you are a minority.
Oh yeah, I am a minority.
And so, and saying that, have you had the challenges of being that person of color in tech?
I'm gonna say I haven't, and I'll tell you why. I was raised by my godmother, and she never married, and so my house was sort of a single parent house. And she was in education, and she worked very hard, and she instilled in me to work very hard. So my approach to work is to do things three times as harder than anyone else around me. So my work spoke for myself, right? So it valued, I'm not gonna say folks look beyond my color, my skin color, but I felt I had to work three times as hard as anybody else to achieve the same thing.
Well, because you're the person of color.
Yes. Yes.
So, and that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
So,
And we know that's just how it is for us.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I accepted that.
Okay.
I accepted that. It was part of what my mother instilled in me as far as hard work. But I realized that in order for me to be taken seriously, and it's, you know, back then, and I still think today, my work has to shine. I can't make a mistake. Like my peer might make a mistake.
Okay.
So has anyone actually denied me something specifically because of my skin color? I can't say that I experienced that directly.
Have you seen it?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen it. I've seen it.
Okay,
sure.
So have you seen it amongst us as color, or amongst us as a color person, or as seeing a woman ever experience this?
I've seen anyone who was not a white male.
Okay.
Experience it.
Okay. No. And so seriously.
Yeah. No. Seriously. If you weren't, I've seen a white male get treated more favorably than a non-white male. I mean, so women of color, women in general, you know, others, men of color. I mean, yeah, I've seen it happen.
So did you, when you come across things like this, how do you feel? What is your emotion in this situation? Because, I mean, I experience this a lot just with my organization, Women of Code. And I mean, I don't work with these women. I am amongst women who work in so many different aspects of technology and trying to strengthen them when they have to deal with this.
Yeah, so what it makes me angry, for one, because I think at this point, in this day and age, it's kind of like the diversity panel earlier. It's all about money, right? So you cannot deliver product to the general population unless there is inclusion, there is diversity. So when I see it, it makes me angry. It makes you question, do I want to be part of that organization? Lately, I've been the only one in the room. So it's been a lot less over the more recent years. So I haven't seen it. Now what I've done is I started speaking at conferences this year, so my goal is to try to get out and sort of be an example that, hey, you know, I've been doing this for 25 plus years. You can be successful. Open mind, come work. We're always trying to hire. I specifically can't hire, but what I can do is at least I can get them to the table. And then, you know,
but that speaks volumes.
Yeah, and then it's up to them to, you know, get the job.
Right. Well, that speaks volumes. That really does. I mean, we very seldom even see people even try to bring people in that way. It's like, okay, listen, I'm going to bring your resume to the right people so that you, you know, let them see what you got, see what the skills you got.
Right.
So now you're at an all women's conference with you're being the majority, let's say. I said it wrong the first time, but majority. So what's the feeling? What do you think?
Well, I will say this. When I thought about submitting to speak, I was a little hesitant because I didn't think that I would get accepted. But my wife encouraged me, yo, go ahead. All they can do is say no.
As you know, his wife, Sean, is here sitting next to him.
So I did, and I think someone reached out. I can't remember who, but someone sent me an email and basically asked me the question, why do you think I'm qualified to speak? And I responded, and so I was accepted. So
that was me.
Okay. I still have that email somewhere.
And it was out of me or Erica, but I asked that question because I was like, there's some people, some men who just think that this conference was going to be something like, yeah, really, seriously, you're going to really apply for this conference? Yeah, I'm just going to mess with you. And so when you apply, I was like, let me ask a question because I'm curious. Is he really serious about this? And when you did, I was like, hell yeah, let's get this boy in.
Yeah, I was very serious because IT's been good to me. It's been good to me, my wife, and my family. And I feel like I'm at a point in my career now where it's time for me to give back. And just to be an example that, hey, you know, he's a black guy who's been doing this over 20 years and pretty successful, speak at conferences, knowledgeable, sharing tech, hopefully inspiring other people to pick up the charge.
And that's what we want.
So, you know, so that was sort of the motivation. And so I was very happy when I was selected and decided to come on down and share what I knew and hopefully network and meet some good people, possibly if someone's looking to move to my area.
Where you live at?
I live in Huntersville, which is right north of Charlotte.
Oh, okay, you in Charlotte. Okay.
Yeah, it's about three and a half hours.
Yeah, because my daddy live in Inman. My sister live in Charlotte. My girlfriend mm-hmm. lives in Winston-Salem. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yep.
It's like home to me a little bit. You know, just drag my behind down there.
So that's my thing. I've spoken eight or nine times this year.
So what do you think? What do you think?
I think it's awesome. I mean, it's very strange for me because I forget who I was talking to someone, and I said, it's very odd. I mean, the when you look at the sea of people, it's like, okay, this is this is completely different. I go to a conference, I have to stand in line to get in the bathroom. Now, as simple as that, though. I mean, as simple as that. It's the opposite.
Minority agent.
Yeah,
that's what I said.
But it's awesome to see, you know, a lot of women seeking. This field or in this field trying to be successful. I think, you know, we need to do a better job of encouraging people, particularly women, because, I mean, I can relate to the fact that being the only person in the room, it can be intimidating.
Yes, it is.
And I think a lot of times, and this has been my experience, so I'm speaking from my experience, I think a lot of women stop because it is so intimidating. IT, most people are super smart, and that's how they, measure their wits. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can't measure up, then you're not good enough. And that goes for everybody in IT, and unfortunately, that's the way it is. But what that does is, particularly for women, is that it actually closes the door. They just shut down because they feel like they don't have a chance.
But that's because women are, it's like Wonder Woman. We do every damn thing.
So
at some point we can't stop and be that, like, the man is the provider. So as women, we decide that we're going to take in all the things that we need to take on so that you can do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. So we will take care of the children and cook mm-hmm. the food and mm-hmm. go food shopping mm-hmm. and say, oh, babe, I need a pair of socks. So we're going to go get them mm-hmm. pair of socks. Mm-hmm. Oh, bill has to be paid because something needs to be paid. Mm-hmm. And so that is used against us when mm-hmm. it comes down to even applying for a job. Because first thing they think about is like, well, she's basically not going to have no time mm-hmm. to do what we need mm-hmm. to do mm-hmm. in our company. And that's unfair.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's all kinds of bias when it comes to, you know, the evaluation of a woman for a position. That's one example. The whole child rearing thing and not being available, not can't put in the hours and all that sort of stuff. I've seen that happen before. It's a mindset change. I think the best way to handle this is to do what you guys are doing, do what I'm doing as far as trying to bring in more people. Open up some eyes and change some minds, and you know, because it when it comes down to it, just like was said on the panel, it's about money. That's the motivator. So you know, somehow, some way, the whole money connection has to be made so that people look beyond those things. Mm-hmm. And it's a tough thing to crack. I mean, it's really, really tough.
Yeah. So, Sean, you know your husband been doing this for 20 years. So, what is your thoughts on, you know, being the wife of a man in technology? What's your challenges? I know that he gives you some challenges. Tell me, girl. Get into it, babe.
I will tell you. Now, in the beginning, because as I said, our oldest is 22, but my husband and I, we've been together for 25, 26 years, because we dated 3 years before we married. Mm-hmm. So I knew what his aspirations were, how goal-oriented he was. And so before we got married, we had that conversation. Who, of course, you know, would be at home, child-rearing, whether it was him mm-hmm. or I.
Right.
So it was a... It was an easy decision for me because having children, having a family, I mean, for me, it was a dream. Mm-hmm. You know, being someone that was told, you know, you may not be able to have children. Right. So when life really started to happen, when we had that conversation, it was an easy decision for me. Okay, I'll give up, you know, engineering and... Okay, I'll be the one to stay at
home. So what do you think about technology? What do you think about the fact that he's into technology? Are you into technology?
No. He and the children call me technologically challenged.
Okay, so you tell me you don't use your phone.
I am constantly learning.
Okay, yeah. All right.
So
I know you shop on your phone. I know you be like, girl. Yeah.
I mean, there are many things I do, you know, from a technology perspective.
No. Don't tell me you don't know a good app that you'd be like, girl, I could find some good stuff on this app.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course.
So you're the master of all apps then.
but to, you know, to the extent where he is, he knows what's going on behind the screens. You know, the creator of it all with the programming, you know, the coding, and even the new stuff he's doing now. I just love to even be around him, even, you know, go into the conferences. I found it enlightening and inspiring.
Okay.
For one, I enjoy seeing him talk about something he's very passionate about.
Of course, my husband does too.
Yeah.
I love him. I love it when he comes along. You know, yeah. It's like this whole. You should see his face. This whole new experience of like, okay, wow. This is a different kind of conference, and this is a different kind of conference. Could you? You know, the first one he went to, he thought it was like. This really nice concert, and then we start to see how different they are, and it's like, okay, I got you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's like one of those things. It's like, again, you when you go along, it's so exciting and having fun, but then you say, like, do I really need to sit through all these people talking? So, but anyway, thank you, Richard.
Thank you,
Sean, for talking to me.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a pleasure.
We're going to be some bullies later on.
Thank you.
Hello everybody, this is Alicia Carr with Women TED Talk, and today I'm with Scott Hanselman,
like Hansel and Gretel, man.
Oh, shit. Hanselman. He is speaking right now at our conference, We Rise, and I've been trying to track him down since OSCON, and finally I got a hold of him, and he is going to sit here and give me his perspective on our conference. But the first thing I want to ask you is, introduce yourself and what do you do?
So my name is Scott Hanselman. If you Google for Scott, you will find Scott Toilet Paper. Right below Scott Toilet Paper is me. I'm in an epic battle. So after you listen to this show, you need to like write a little blog post about it.
Oh my God.
I love talking to Scott.
So you know.
And then you got to link my name to my blog to give me more juice so I can defeat Scott Toilet Paper.
But you know, Scott Toilet Paper is old school. That goes way
That's
back
why I need,
before
I need help.
Anybody, even Charmin's.
I need the juice, and I got to get rid of them. I can't have them be as high up as they are.
Yeah, we need to.
So we need to solve that. I need to be on page one. Everybody, go stop, pause the show, do a little tweet, and then link me to you. So I work at Microsoft. I haven't always worked there. I won't always work there, but I've been in software for 25 years, and I got a podcast. So my last name is Hanselman, and my show is called Hansel Minutes, because people used to tease me because I used to give really bad software estimates. I'd be like, oh yeah, I can do that. I'll do that for you in about 30 minutes. And they're like, is that 30 Hansel Minutes or 30 actual minutes? So thus, the show is born, and I've done 587 episodes.
Wow.
That's every Thursday for 11 and a half years.
Oh, my husband would love to talk to you.
Yeah, anytime.
Yeah, because he's doing this whole podcast thing, and he decided that is going to be his network now.
There you go.
Because he does everything.
There's a lot of cool podcasts out there. There's an uprising in podcasts right now. It's a golden age of podcasting. People finally figured it out.
Yep.
Everybody figured out they got an app. Oh, I didn't know I had an app. Right, NPR has got a cool app. Overcast is good.
Yes,
so
yes,
this is the time for podcasts.
So what did you talk about? And I mean, you were in right before our discussion panel, and it was just really amazing what you have talked about. And I want people to get that. What
think
you
it was
really,
okay?
I love it.
You don't
it.
Think it was weird to have a dude talking at the beginning of the women's panel?
Nah, babe. In fact, we want a male keynote speaker. Mm. And that's something that...
Yeah, I said, I appreciated that, but I respectfully said no thank you, because I don't want to take the spot away from a qualified woman.
No, but it doesn't, I mean, for us, it meant volumes, because you're speaking for us. Mm. And there's very few men that can say, you know, why men should support women.
I hear what you're saying.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's a misunderstanding that they think that, well, I'm stepping on that other woman's opportunity. But no, the thing is that as a male, you can change how we are seen in the tech community.
Right, right.
And by you speaking for us, that speaks volumes to getting men to understand that women can't change it. You as men can change that.
My a good friend of mine named Anwan Simmons gives an amazing talk that I mention in all of my talks that I do on diversity and inclusion, and his talk is called Lending Privilege. Now, he is a black man, but he has male privilege, and he talks about when he has been lent privilege in meetings where someone like said, I think actually Anwan, he mentioned that earlier, thereby giving him credit for something that someone may have inadvertently taken credit for, or if I might, either as male or as white male or whatever, then lend privilege to someone else by lifting their voice up. Mm-hmm. The trick is for me to realize, from whatever place of privilege I'm coming from, that your success is not a threat to me.
Okay.
Your success and your being lifted up, whether you lift yourself up, your friends lift you up, I lift you up. These are little steps. This is just like, look, here, look at this. One opportunity, you know, is all it takes to then take you to the next level and the next level,
Right.
And if you rise up, technology as a community rises up,
right.
Technology gets better, everybody succeeds. I think that a lot of the negativity around diversity and inclusion in tech is people being afraid that, well, my job is on the line.
Right.
But I want to try to give, you know, voices to people who maybe didn't have a voice, or make sure that they get heard.
Right.
And you know, the rising water lifts all boats.
Right, right. I mean, because it's so interesting, because being a woman of color has been a serious challenge for me in technology. That at some point I realized that I have to make my own, you know, to be that successful woman and just
And make that, your own space?
Make my own career.
Your own career.
Yeah. Yeah. Make be somebody who can be successful and can share the experience with other women.
Yeah.
You know, so they don't feel that they are failures.
Right.
You know. And so when you sit here and talk about diversity and inclusion, what makes you that person to speak on it?
Mm. I think that I can only speak on it from my perspective, and my perspective as a manager, my perspective as someone who grew up the way I grew up. This is something I've always been interested in. I happened to grow up in a neighborhood where I was in the minority. And I've also, my wife is from Zimbabwe, so I've spent time overseas where I was like the only white person within a couple hundred miles. While that's not the same as living a lifetime of that, it sure in the hell gives you a taste.
Yeah.
Just give you a little sense.
Yeah.
When you know, I remember one time we were on the corner in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe, and I came out onto the street coming out of a department store. I swear to God, every single eyeball on the block, just like, vroom. Who is this dude right here? You know what I mean? And then if I just kind of hide, just kind of step into an alleyway, for example, then the sound of the street continues and I've disappeared. And then I step out again. It's like, what is going on? Is he with? Is he married to her? Who is she? Why does she know this? You know what I mean?
Yes,
that sense of like, can I just be? Can I just live? I can only begin to imagine.
Right.
But I think that those kinds of experiences can offer just a taste of empathy.
Yeah.
And I think empathy is what we're missing.
Yeah. So what do you think about our We Rise conference?
You know, one of the things I was mentioning to this young lady, Latoya, who was working the Microsoft Surface booth, was that it doesn't feel like a year one conference. it feels like we've discovered a conference that's been going on for 3, 4, 5 years. And like, how did I not know that this was a thing? It's very professionally run. It seems like it's been always happening. So I think that bodes well for year two.
I am so impressed for myself, because doing this conference, we were so worried about it being at a certain presentation. We wanted it to be
professional.
Yeah, we wanted it to be where women can not feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But we also wanted it to be that men can come too and still get the same opportunities as women.
Yep, that is a challenge. If you look at like the Grace Hoppers and the different conferences, sometimes, you know, a man will roll in and he'll be like, am I supposed to be here? That is a challenge, right? And then you have to be careful, because it should be a women's conference. It should be. But we don't want to have to satisfy some arbitrary pie chart.
That's true.
Pie chart diversity is not legitimate diversity.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Scott, for talking to me.
Yeah.